ಪ್ರೇಷ್ಠಾಯ ಭೂತಲೇ ಶ್ರೀಮತೇ ಭಕ್ತಿ ವೇದಾಂತ ಸ್ವಾಮಿನಿತಿ ನಾಮಿನಿ. ನಮಸ್ತೆ ಸರಸ್ವತಿ ದೇವೇ ಗೌರವಾಣಿ ಪ್ರಚಾರಿಣೆ ನಿರ್ವಿಶೇಷ ಶೂನ್ಯವಾದಿ ಪಾಶ್ಚಾತ್ಯ ದೇಶ ತಾರಿಣಿ. ಜಯ ಶ್ರೀ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಪ್ರಭು ನಿತ್ಯಾನಂದ ಶ್ರೀ ಗದಾಧರ ಶಿವಾಸಾದಿ ಗೌರ ಭಕ್ತ ವೃಂದ. ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ, ಹರೇ ರಾಮ ಹರೇ ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ, ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ. ಸೊ ಥ್ಯಾಂಕ್ ಯು ಆಲ್ ವೆರಿ ಮಚ್ ಫಾರ್ ಜಾಯಿನಿಂಗ್ ಟುಡೇಸ್ ಸೆಷನ್. ವಿ ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಬಿನ್ ಡಿಸ್ಕಸಿಂಗ್ ಫ್ರಮ್ ದ ಬುಕ್ ಪಕ್ಯಾಲೋಕ ಭೈಶಲ್ಯ ಭಕ್ತಿ ವಿನೋದ್ ಠಾಕೂರ್, ವಿಚ್ ಇಸ್ ಅ ಕಲೆಕ್ಷನ್ ಆಫ್ 12 ಎಸ್ಸೇಸ್ ಅಬೌಟ್ ಬೇಸ್ಡ್ ಆನ್ ದ ಸೆಕೆಂಡ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಥರ್ಡ್ ವರ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಲೆಟರ್ ಆಫ್ ಇನ್ಸ್ಟ್ರಕ್ಷನ್. ದ ಸಿಕ್ಸ್ ಫೇವರಬಲ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಸಿಕ್ಸ್ ಅನ್ಫೇವರಬಲ್ ಐಟಮ್ಸ್ ಫಾರ್ ಪ್ರಾಕ್ಟಿಸಿಂಗ್ ಡಿವೋಷನಲ್ ಸರ್ವಿಸ್, ಇನ್ ವಿಚ್ ವಿ ಆರ್ ಕರೆಂಟ್ಲಿ ಡಿಸ್ಕಸಿಂಗ್ ದಿ 10th ಎಸ್ಸೇ, ವಿಚ್ ಇಸ್ ಅಬೌಟ್ ತತ್ತತ್ ಕರ್ಮ ಪ್ರವರ್ತನ, ವಿಚ್ ಮೀನ್ಸ್ how devotees are expected to engage in the duties which are prescribed for them. This is very favorable. They should be diligent in performing the duties that are prescribed for them. That is called as tattat karma pravartana, and this is a very important limb. So the duties prescribed for a devotee are the 64 limbs, are the 64 limbs mentioned by Srila Rupa Goswami in his Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. So in that we have been discussing for the last few weeks from those 64 limbs. So last time we discussed about discussed a few limbs, which is one is tadiyanam sevanam, service to things related to the Lord, in which we discussed about serving Tulsi Maharani, the various ways in which we could serve Tulsi Maharani. We saw this verse from the Skanda Puran and how she reciprocates in various ways with the devotees who serve Tulsi Maharani in this various ways. We saw this. Then we also discussed about service to the Shastras according to our Gaudiya Vaishnava Parampara. Shastras means Srimad Bhagavatam and the scriptures which are in line with Srimad Bhagavatam. Shraddham Bhagavate Shastre Anindam Anyatra Chapihi. So that is our understanding of service to the Shastras. Then the next we spoke about Maturayaha, serving Mathura and other holy places. That is again when it comes to holy places for us, Vrindavan and Varajabhumi and Navadvip. They are like the foremost holy places for the Gaudiya Vaishnavas. Gaura Amar Jesabastane Koralo Brahmana Rangi Jesabastana Heri Goami Pranayi Bhakata Sange, like that. And then we also discussed about serving the Vaishnavas, Vaishnavanam Sevanam. This also as a limb we discussed. And then the 57th limb was Yata Vaibhava Mahotsava, observing festivals according to one's wealth, according to what one can afford. You know, that is also a very important limb. You know, whatever one can afford, one should utilize it in Krishna's service and not less, like that. And then the 58th and the last limb, I think this was the last limb that we discussed, was Urja Dharaha, observing the Urja Vrata or the Chaturmas Vrata. We saw how just as, so not Chaturmas, the Kartik. So just as Kartik Vrata for us means as much increasing the devotional activities during the month of Kartik, that much it is favorable. And how just as Lord Damodar is very, his Bhakta Vatsala, similarly his dear month is also very compassionate and towards the devotees. Svalpam api urukarakaha, even little bit of favorable service done during that month, Kartik magnifies, the month of Kartik magnifies into this many, many times, like that. So I think this is where we ended our discussion last week, the 58th limb. Then we have one more limb before we move on to the five most potent limbs. So we will continue that discussion today. But before we start that discussion, if there are any quick discussion points, comments, questions based on what we discussed last week, and whatever we have summarized today, we will take. If you have anything, you can raise your hand. Mohit Prabhu.
Yes, Hare, can you hear me, Prabhu? Hare Krishna.
We can hear you, Prabhu. Prabhu, but your voice is breaking. Your voice is breaking. Prabhuji, can you type your question, because your voice is breaking. I'm not able to hear you clearly.
Okay, Prabhuji.
Okay. Anything else anyone would like to share? Ask, add, before we move forward. Okay, if there is none, then we will continue our discussion. So, the 59 limb is Shri Janmadina Yatra, observing the appearance day of the Lord. So this is a very interesting verse. I found this quite amusing. This is from the Bhavishyottara Puran. So, here, the person who is speaking this verse, he says, Yasmin Dine, this is he speaking to Krishna. He says, Yasmin Dine Prasuteyam Devaki Tvam Janardana Tad Dinam Bruhi Vaikunta Kurmaste Tatracha Utsavam Tena Samyak Prapannanam Prasadam Guru Keshava. So here, one who is offering this prayer, he is asking Krishna, O Janardana, Bruhi, please tell us, Yasmin Dine Devaki Tvam Prasute. When was the day when you were born? Tell me, when is your birthday? Like he's asking Krishna only. O Janardana, tell us the day that Devaki gave birth to you. O Vaikunta, Tad Dinam Kurmaha Te Tatracha Utsavam. On that day, we will perform a festival celebrating your birthday. O Keshava, Prasadam Kuru. May you be pleased with that festival performed and Samyak Prapannanam. Please be pleased with that festival performed by your surrendered devotees. Like that, he is offering this prayer to Krishna. So this is observing or celebrating the appearance days of the Supreme Lord. You know, this is very like Janmashtami, Gaur Purnima, Varaha Dwadashi, Narasimha Chaturdashi, Rama Navami, like that. This is also a very important limb of devotional service, like that. Any quick discussion points, comments, questions before we move forward? Okay, if there is none, then we will continue. This was the 59th limb. Then, now we are going to discuss the five most potent limbs. So, these five most potent limbs are actually non-negotiable limbs. These limbs cannot be not performed. Even Srila Rupa Goswami later will say that you can perfect bhakti by performing ekanga bhakti or anekanga bhakti. He says ekanga bhakti means by performing one limb, and anekanga bhakti means by performing multiple limbs. So he says that one can perfect devotional service by performing ekanga bhakti or anekanga bhakti. But he clarifies in his explanation of that by telling it means predominant performance of one limb or predominantly performing multiple limbs. So it talks about predominant performance, not exclusive. So exclusive performance of one limb is not accepted because except in our sampradaya, that kind of exclusivity is used only for the limb of Harinam Sankirtan. But even then, generally, if you see the regular practice of all Gaudiya Vaishnavas, including all the Acharyas, they have performed all the five limbs. So there has not been, even though theoretically there is an exclusive emphasis on the holy name and no other limb, but actually from a practical perspective, if you see, all five limbs have been performed by our Acharyas and not, you know, exclusively one. Like that. So we are going to discuss that. There is a question in the chat box. So this is about the service to Srimad Bhagavatam. So Mohit Prabhu asks that I distribute Krishna book with great affection and love. I haven't read Srimad Bhagavatam, but I read Krishna book. So is it also equal to service to Srimad Bhagavatam? Yes. Krishna book is also a summary study of the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. So, but that does not mean we don't have to read Bhagavatam or we need not read Bhagavatam. We should definitely read Bhagavatam also. And having said that, Krishna book also, reading Krishna book also falls within the category of serving Srimad Bhagavatam. There is no doubt about it. And distributing Krishna book also comes in the category of serving Srimad Bhagavatam. Can we pluck tulsi leaves in the evening? I think we can pluck in the evening, but beyond Sandhya time, I think we cannot pluck tulsi leaves. Sunday, I don't think there is a problem. I think Sundays we can pick tulsi leaves, pluck tulsi leaves. I think Dwadashi day, like we discussed last time, on Dwadashi day, we cannot pluck the tulsi leaves. That's my understanding. Anything else before we move forward? Okay. If there is none, so then we will continue. So we are going to discuss the five most potent limbs of devotional service. Prabhu, your internet is not good. You can please type the questions. I will take the questions. Okay. Mohit Prabhu, you can type your questions. I will take your questions. Okay. So let's discuss the five most potent limbs. Srila Rupa Goswami says, Duruha adbhuta viryesmin shraddha durestu panchake yatra svalpapi sambandha saddhiyam bhava janmani. So he says, panchake, the last five items, duruha adbhuta virya, they have inconceivable and astonishing power. Asmin shraddha durestu, what to speak of having faith in any of these items? Yatra svalpaha api sambandha. If one has even a little relationship with these five items, saddhiyam, persons who are devoid of offenses. This is a very important point. Many times we skip this, or we may miss this. Saddhiyam. If devotees are free of offenses, bhava janmani. So, the limbs of devotional service, these five most potent limbs of devotional service are so potent that even if one may have absolutely no faith in them, if one just incidentally performs any of these limbs without having faith in these limbs, but if by chance that person is completely free of offenses, the limbs are so powerful that it can immediately elevate them to the stage of bhava. Saddhiyam bhava janmani. So these five are very, very potent in that sense. So, okay. So now we will start discussing these five most potent limbs, starting with the first limb, which is Shrimurter Angrise Preeti. So generally, when we ask, what are the five most potent limbs? Devotees say, deity worship, reading Bhagavatam, chanting the holy name, serving the Vaishnavas, and our association with Vaishnavas, and holy dham. So like that they say, Naam, dham, Vaishnav, like that they say. But actually, deity worship is not one of the five most potent limbs. We think like that. It is a limb of devotional service, no doubt. Archanam, we already saw Archanam as one of the limbs. But Archanam is one of the 64 limbs of devotional service. But Archanam is not one of the most potent limbs. What is a potent limb? He says, Shrimurter Angri Sevane Preeti. Preeti means attachment. So when there is attachment to serving the lotus feet of the deity, then that limb becomes a very potent limb. Serving the deity in itself is an important limb of devotion service, but it is not one of the most potent limbs. What makes it potent is that attachment. So when there is deep attachment to serving the lotus feet of the deity, then it becomes a very important, then it becomes one of the five most potent limbs of devotional service. Actually, these limbs of devotional service are complementary limbs. They aid each other. They don't compete with each other. Generally, what competes is our false ego. He likes chanting, I like hearing, then I always keep glorifying hearing. He always keeps glorifying chanting as in an exclusive way. That is generally because of our false ego. We are not really concerned about either chanting being better or hearing being better, but what we are more concerned about is whether I am better or the other person is better. But actually, these limbs are complementary to each other. They complement each other. In Shri Brihad Bhagavatamrita, it is mentioned, the Vaikunthavasis in their talking with Gopa Kumar, when talking about the glories of Harinam Sankirtan, they say, Sankirtanad dhyana sukam vivardate dhyanat sankirtana madhuri sukam. So they say, by performing Harinam Sankirtan, the bliss of meditation gets enhanced. Sankirtanad dhyana sukam vivardate dhyanat sankirtana madhuri sukam. And by meditating on the nama rupa guna lila of the Lord, then it enhances the sweetness when we do sankirtan of the nama rupa guna lila of the Lord. So like that. So so therefore, generally, when we engage diligently in the right attitude in one of the limbs of the duo, in one of these limbs, generally it enhances our taste for engaging in the other limbs of the devotional service also. So if we hear diligently in the right attitude, it will naturally inspire us to chant the holy names. If we chant attentively, we naturally want to serve the form of the Lord also. And when we are nicely worshipping the deity form of the Lord, then we naturally want to hear more about him and chant his names. So therefore, these limbs actually very nicely complement each other rather than compete with each other. So of the five most potent limbs, the first limb that we are going to discuss about is attachment to serving the lotus feet of the deity. Shrimurter Angri Sevane Preeti. Okay. Before we start that, there are some questions in the chat box I'll take. I don't observe Chaturmasya Vrata. Is this Vrata also important for devotees like Kartik month? Yeah, some devotees definitely practice Chaturmas. If one can practice Chaturmas, it's very good. But the most important thing is to meditate on Krishna and not on the Vrata. So as long as we ensure that we spend more time and meditating on Krishna and serving him, that is more important. We should not rather become vrata conscious. That is important. Okay. Second, in Naivedya Prasadam, Krishna takes four type of prasad: licking, sucking, chewing, and drinking. But Krishna loves pan and churan, but for us pan is forbidden. Why? What we offer Krishna in licking, sucking? Okay. So, can we eat pan? Well, not the supari part, because the supari part is not appropriate. But as far as I understand, the pan can be eaten by those who are not in the renounced order of life. Householders can eat, can take that pan prasad. That is my understanding. Okay. And what we offer in licking and sucking? Sucking, I think maybe some fruits, maybe. And in maybe achar and other such things, maybe murabba, maybe things like that. Okay. My wife is a non-devotee, and in winter season sometimes she doesn't take bath before cooking. Can I offer food cooked by her to Krishna, because I have no other option? Yeah, there is an option. You can learn cooking as well. So you can also start cooking for the Lord. You cannot convince your wife to take bath and cook. But if in the worst case, if she at least takes bath and cook, and you can offer apologies to the Supreme Lord and request him to accept the food, we have to make the best use of the bad bargain. You said that consciousness of a person permeates into the food, but my wife is a non-devotee, but still my bhakti is increasing day by day. She cooks food for me. I wake up at 3 a.m. and do japa with great affection. Yeah, I mean, food is one of the ways in which our which affects our consciousness. There may be other ways, you know, our chanting quality, the kind of association we have otherwise, what we read, what we hear, they also affect our consciousness. So food is one of the prominent ways by which affects our consciousness, but there are the other limbs of devotional service also, which when we engage, it also affects our consciousness like that. Okay, let's continue. We will discuss this topic about deity worship in little bit detail. First thing we'll discuss is, what is the need for deity worship? If chanting Hare Krishna is sufficient in itself for perfection, why is there a need for deity worship if chanting itself is sufficient? Srila Prabhupada, in his Adilila 7.76 purport, Srila Prabhupada writes, to chant the holy name of the Lord, one need not depend upon other paraphernalia, for one can immediately get all the desired results of linking with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So to chant the holy name of the Lord, we need not depend on any other paraphernalia. It may therefore be questioned why there is a necessity for initiation or further spiritual activities in devotional service for one who engages in the chanting of the holy name of the Lord. Is there a need for performing other things if there is? Isn't the holy name in itself sufficient? Isn't it capable of taking me till prema, Krishna prema? The answer is that although it is correct that one who fully engages in chanting the holy name need not depend upon the process of initiation, generally a devotee is addicted to many abominable material habits due to the material contamination from his previous life. We all know this, right? So generally, a devotee is addicted to many abominable habits due to material contamination from his previous life. In order to get quick relief from all these contaminations, It is required that one engage in the worship of the Lord in the temple. Because the process of archanam or deity worship engages maximum senses in the service. Okay. Because engaging the mind is very difficult. Engaging the mind is very difficult because mind generally is affected by a lot of material vasanas. But engaging the senses is easy, and engaging the senses will automatically engage the mind. And the more the number of senses are engaged in the service of the Lord, the more chance is there for our mind to engage in Krishna consciousness, something connected to Krishna. So therefore, in order to get quick relief from all these contaminations, it is necessary that one engage in the worship of the Lord in the temple or at one's home, right? The worship of the deity in the temple is essential to reduce one's restlessness due to the contaminations of conditioned life, right? The more our senses have access to objects of sense gratification, the less our mind can concentrate on Krishna. So, while chanting engages the sense of speech, the sense of hearing, and subsequently the mind, but deity worship involves many other senses. It involves many of the karmendriyas also. It includes the sense of touch. It includes the sense of, you know, you keep chanting some of the mantras, hearing, engaging. It keeps the mind very much occupied because you have one after another, you have strict cleanliness protocols, strict punctuality protocols. You have to be concerned about time, you have to be concerned about quality, you have to be concerned about cleanliness. So it keeps the mind completely occupied. And when the mind gets completely occupied and absorbed in this way, it is absorption that leads to purification. So deity worship, if you are practicing good quality deity worship, standards are high, then definitely engagement in deity worship brings in a level of absorption which leads to quick purification. So any activity, when performed with absorption, leads to purification. Right? So that is why in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, sorry, in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, the Vaikunthavasis say that whatever limb of devotional service one performs with great attachment and delight, that is the best form of devotional service for that person, not only as an abhideya, but that is the best means, best and the fastest means for attain his prayojan or the goal of Krishna prema. So therefore, they say that whatever limb of devotional service you really like and engage with great delight and attachment, that is the best limb of devotional service for that person. Because by engaging in that, one will engage with great absorption. And greater the absorption, lesser is the distraction of the mind in other non-Krishna conscious activities. So therefore, greater the absorption, faster is the purification. So therefore, we were discussing the other day that many times we hear that if you engage in activities that you don't like, if you engage in those limbs of external service which you do not like, it will lead to faster purification. Actually, this is not true. This is exactly opposite to the principle actually. The principle is that the more liking you have for the limb of devotional service, you will perform it with greater absorption. And purification comes from absorption. And purification does not come essentially from performing activities which you don't like. Activities which we don't like, we will generally do it in a very detached mood. And detached mood will not create absorption. And absorption, lack of absorption will not create purification actually. So, therefore, this is very critical that we identify limbs of devotional service which we like and can perform with greater absorption. Because as I had discussed in one of the previous sessions, maybe here or maybe in some other course, I am not recollect. So we perform devotional service at multiple levels. So the lowest level in which we perform devotional service is the level of succumbing. Okay. Higher than that is the level of dovetailing. Higher than that is the level of yukta vairagya. And higher than that is the level of spontaneous devotional service. Okay. So the level of succumbing is when we feel dry and bored and we are not getting juice out of whatever devotional activity that we are performing. That dryness will pull us towards performing some activities of sense gratification, which will give us some juice. So therefore, because we may not find any juice in the activities of devotional service that we are performing, or those activities of devotional service we are performing, so this may lead to kind of boredom. And if you have not figured out Krishna conscious ways of killing boredom, then we keep maybe succumbing to non Krishna conscious ways of killing boredom, which will keep pulling us more and more. Okay, so therefore the means of overcoming this stage of succumbing is actually to learn to come to the stage of dovetailing, where one engages in activities of devotional service which one can perform with great delight and absorption. So basically this dovetailing helps us find out Krishna conscious ways of killing boredom, in which so that way it effectively protects us from succumbing to non Krishna conscious. So therefore, it is important that, I was discussing as leaders also, it is important that leaders find out enjoyable limbs of devotional service, at least in the initial stages, when the devotees may feel very vulnerable to succumbing to dry phases of their life. It may even be dry phases in the day, right? So therefore, this is very important. And when we do that, then we will, when we keep on dovetailing, then we will escape the succumbing stage, and that purification will give us some level of vairagya, where we can start engaging in service on the level of yukta vairagya. And then when Yukta Vairagya is perfected, then we come to the level of spontaneous devotional service of Bhava and Prema. Okay. So therefore, definitely of the 64 limbs, we should definitely, it will definitely help us in one sense overcome the succumbing stage. So thus Narada in his Pancharatriki Vidhi and other great sages have sometimes stressed that since a conditioned soul has a bodily concept of life aimed at sense enjoyment, to restrict this sense enjoyment, the rules and regulations for worshiping the deity in the temple are essential. Okay. So, deity worship naturally brings in absorption. That is why in the early stages, it is very, it is very much emphasized. Because absorb in the initial stages when we are very grossly contaminated, the kind of purification that comes through deity worship is very strong actually. Because we cannot perform chanting with much absorption. But deity worship commands that level of absorption, because if we are not absorbed, then we will make mistakes which will be very much evident, and it will affect the service of others also. So therefore, in the early days, it is very, very critical that we engage in deity service, right? And Srila Rupa Goswami has said that the holy name of the Lord can be chanted by liberated souls, but almost all the souls we have to initiate are conditioned. It is advised that one chant the holy name Lord without offenses and according to the regulative principles. Yet due to their past bad habits, they violate these rules and regulations. Thus, the regulative principles for worship of the deity are simultaneously essential. Right. So this is what Srila Prabhupada writes in his Adi Leela purport. There are questions in the chat box. Okay. Out of the five limbs devotees, a devotee takes vow of chanting. So can we consider chanting is superior amongst the fives, and should we give priority? So, well, yes, definitely in our sampradaya and especially in Kali Yuga, the Yuga Dharma is chanting only. And especially in our sampradaya, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself has doubled up as the Yuga Avatara also. Therefore, there is more special empowerment in the limb of chanting, Sankirtan, Harinam Sankirtan. So therefore, definitely Harinam Sankirtan is given exclusive, seemingly exclusive access in our parampara. So definitely it is very, very potent actually. Yes. In one sense, it is superior. No doubt about it. So Hari Prasad Prabhu asks, but we should do austerities, right? And austerity means voluntary inconvenience for our betterment. Well, we don't do that kind of austerities. We don't do that kind of austerities. Because that kind of austerities of voluntary austerity of avoiding anything that we may like and doing lot of things that we do not like, it will make the heart hard. Rather, the kind of austerity that we do is try to do things which Krishna likes. We not be essentially doing avoiding things which we like, and because that is still self-centered, that is not Krishna-centered. Or doing things which we may not like, you know, that is also self-centered actually. That is not Krishna-centered. So those kind of austerities will make the heart hard, but bhakti is supposed to make the heart soft. So therefore, that kind of a vairagya is rejected by Srila Rupa Goswami. He very clearly says that vairagya is not a limb of devotional service. Rather, vairagya is a big obstacle, one of the biggest obstacles to devotional service. That kind of shushka vairagya, if we practice, that I will avoid things which I will do things which I don't like. No, that is still self-centered. That will lead to self-absorption only. It should lead to absorption in Krishna. Can you share the excerpt of Brihad Bhagavatamrita which you are sharing in the group? Yes, sure, I can share. I will share it when I send it across tomorrow. I can share. Another point, but we are not allowed to do deity worship before second initiation. Yeah, but home deity worship is always possible. You know, if someone is performing, that does not need second initiation. And we may not be able to do the actual archanam part, you know, where we need second initiation. But there are many, many aspects which fall within the category of paricharya. Deity worship, but not archanam. Peripheral activities, which also fall under deity worship, but that does not need second initiation. Like a lot of backup services and making the boga plate and things like that, washing the boga plates, getting them ready. So many such things, they do not need second initiation. But that also needs a lot of cleanliness, punctuality. And it engages many of our senses and has the potential to keep us very engaged. So that is about Srila Prabhupada writing, what is the need for deity worship if chanting Hare Krishna is sufficient in itself for perfection? Okay. Any quick discussion points, comments, questions, anything anyone would like to share? Ask Mother Gail.
Hare Krishna Prabhu.
Yes, Mother.
This statement about, you know, if you're doing only what you like and avoiding what you don't like, that can lead to self-absorption, right? But So I'm trying to understand, when does it become self-absorption, and when is it absorption in Krishna? If you are spending so much time in one of the limbs of devotional service because you find it enlivening or attractive in some way, you know, why, when does that stop being absorption in Krishna and start being absorption in one's own self?
So the first criteria to choose an activity, the primary criteria is it should please Krishna. Otherwise, I may say that, I like scuba diving. But that is not Krishna conscious. So here we are talking about amongst those items which Krishna likes, those items which fall within the category of Krishna conscious activities, there is always scope for choosing activities which we may like. So therefore, the primary criteria is it pleasing Krishna? And within those activities or items which may be pleasing to Krishna, secondarily, I may choose those activities which I can perform with a greater level of absorption. So that way, that is something that we need to keep, introspecting ourselves. So like that.
Okay, maybe I misunderstood you. I thought that you were saying even when we are choosing Krishna conscious things, right? You know, and we're choosing only those things that we like, those Krishna conscious things that we like, we are spending the preponderance of our time on, and the things, the Krishna conscious things that we don't like, you know, we don't spend so much time on. I thought you were saying in that way we can become too self-absorbed, but maybe So you were saying if we are choosing things that are not Krishna conscious, we get absorbed in things that are not Krishna conscious.
No, no. I will clarify, Mataji, because whatever I spoke had a context to it. There was a question in the chat box in the context of the discussion that we made that, you know, what activity we do it with, we may like, we will do it with more absorption, and the greater is the absorption, then the faster is the purification. So, in context of that, a question was asked. The question was, but we are told that we are told to perform austerities. Austerities means voluntary inconvenience for our own betterment. That was the question. So, so what you say is it's like contradictory to what we have heard. We are told that you should take voluntary austerity for one betterment. But you are telling that choose a Krishna conscious activity of your choice. But that is not austerity. So, so how it be betterment? So I said austerity here means to give up by austerity, the kind of dry austerity is, oh, you like it, don't do it. You don't like it, do it. That is austerity. But that kind of austerity will make the heart hard. Because whatever like, you keep saying no, no, no. And whatever you don't like, you force feed yourself like that. So that way, that way one develops a kind of a hard heart. That's what Srila Rupa Goswami says in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. It makes the heart hard. That austerity makes the heart hard. The kind of austerity that we do is not think much about whether I like or not, but try to do what Krishna likes. So I may like to eat a chocolate flavored ice cream from a particular shop, but now we don't eat because it is not prasadam and Krishna not like. But between those things which Krishna likes, you know, which is allowed as Krishna conscious activities, we can definitely choose those activities of our choice and which we can perform with greater level of absorption. So that is definitely allowed.
Yeah, so the self-absorption that you were referring to only happens when we are choosing among non-Krishna conscious activities, right?
No. What I mentioned was, he told that we have to do austerities. Even in doing austerities, when you reject whatever I like, I will reject. Whatever I don't like, I will choose. So even there, rather than thinking about what Krishna likes and what Krishna doesn't like, we are thinking about what I like. Even though you are rejecting what you like, but you are focused on thinking what you like. And there is no question of Krishna there. So how would that make the heart soft? So, so softness heart comes from exchange of emotions. So when we are austerity involves only one person. You know, this kind of dry austerity involves only one person. That is myself. I like, I will reject. I don't like, I will forcefully do it. So where's the question of Krishna? So the softness of heart comes from exchange of emotions. But when there is absorption in only one person, which is what is this kind of austerity, so that's the self-absorption, and that makes the heart hard.
But you know, I understand you, but it seems like this accepting and rejecting only based on what one likes can even happen in if let's say the universe that we're talking about is only Krishna conscious activities, you know, I accept and reject Krishna conscious activities based only on what is appealing to me, you know. It seems like even within Krishna conscious activities only, right, there could be this kind of self-centeredness, isn't it?
It is possible. So it is possible. I do agree upon that point. So that is why, in one sense, that happens to in the initial stages, it may come like that. But if you are, it need not be an attachment to the activity also. It can be, but in during the course of time, if you develop attachment to people, devotees, senior devotees, whom you develop attachment to, then a desire to please them may give you more pleasure than engagement in activities of your choice. But in the initial stages, when that level of attachment to personalities has not yet taken place, then definitely some level of gratification from engaging in Krishna conscious activities of one's choice is important, right? So just like, you know, as long as someone is a bachelor, you know, one becomes, one is very self-centered, you know, I like it, I will eat it. The moment someone becomes a father or a mother, then they become very amenable to sacrifice what they like for pleasing their child or someone like that, something like that, right? So initial stages, till one develops that trustworthy relationship with one's superiors who may engage them in activities of devotional service. Till then, it is actually important for the superiors also to ensure that the person engages in activities of Krishna consciousness of their choice. But once that trustworthy relationship is developed, then the subordinate automatically wants to engage in those activities which would please the superior. Now he is getting more joy from pleasing the superior than in engaging in activities of his choice. But in order to gain that trust, it is important that in the initial stages, the superior endeavors to engage that devotee, subordinate, in activities of his choice in order to gain that trust. So either it has to be driven by love or liking. In the initial stages, it is liking. But when the subordinate sees that the conscious endeavor from the superior to engage him in activities of his liking, that transforms into love for the personality, then that love drives him to perform activities of his superior's choice. So it gradually develops that way.
Very nice, Prabhu. Thank you so much.
Hare Krishna. Monica Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. You said that today you said that absorption is most important to perform any limb. And the other day you said that mechanical, maybe about chanting, that mechanical chanting leads to absorption and love. So how can we...
I said mechanical chanting leads to absorption and love. I don't know. I don't exactly recollect. maybe if you can just refer back to that set and find out exactly what was discussed, and then maybe you can come back, Mataji, we will discuss this further.
Okay, so first, we don't have any love or any attraction for things. In the beginning, we don't like chanting for 2 hours. It is very, okay. very difficult for us to concentrate for 2 hours. But mm-hmm. still, we are doing, and we don't have absorption. So still, we get the results. No?
Yeah, true. But that comes only because we have some trust in Srila Prabhupada, or we may have trust in some senior devotees who may ask us to chant 16 rounds. But not that everyone starts chanting 16 rounds from the beginning only. I don't think there are very few devotees who from the first day only start chanting 16 rounds. Even though out of 24 hours, they may be able to allocate 2 hours for chanting, but it is very difficult for them to chant for 2 hours because the taste is totally not there. Okay. And the trust in authority also, trust and affection for the authority has also not blossomed. So in that stage, when the taste is also not there and trust and affection for the authority is also not yet developed, in that stage, they will be engaged in, 1, 2 rounds, 3 rounds, 4 rounds, like that. But gradually, either when the taste in chanting little by little increases, or when the trust and affection for the authority increases little bit, when this driving force increases, then it leads to, then they start increasing their rounds and slowly come to 16 rounds. So, look to introspect and see that it must be one of these two things.
But we know that chanting is very important, and by chanting we can excellence in our devotional life. So it is important. That's why people chant.
Yeah.
Even if
I am not denying that.
Any test.
That is true. That is true. But you believe that chanting is very important because you trust in some authority, right? Otherwise, how do you believe that chanting is very important? On what basis you say chanting is very important? How do you know chanting is important, very important?
Yes, right.
Yeah. You have trust in some authority who says that chanting is very important. Prabhupada says, Prabhupada's book says, because you have developed that trust in Srila Prabhupada, therefore, even though you are not getting taste, that trust pulls you to chant 16 rounds. Right?
So at that level,
you may chant 16 rounds, but because you do not like chanting so much, you will not have that much absorption in chanting. So therefore, the purification which comes from that kind of chanting will be little less. So that is why even though, you can chant throughout the day, 24 hours you can chant, because chanting is the most important limb. But you are requested to perform various other activities which may involve much more absorption than chanting. So therefore, you are requested to 16 rounds, but rest of the days, rest of the time, engage in some services, engage in some deity worship, like that.
Okay, thank you so much.
Hare Krishna. Kesho Priya Madhavi Mataji. I can't hear you, Mataji, we can't hear you. Are you speaking, Mataji? We are not able to hear you. Okay.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Am I audible, Prabhuji?
Yeah.
Prabhuji, here in this slide you are given, Prabhuji, only chanting is enough, but due to their past bad habits, they are not able to follow the they may violate the rules and regulations. So regulative principle of worship of deity is essential. You're given like this here, Prabhuji. So if someone due to bad habits not able to fall, is violating the rules and regulations of chanting, however he will follow this regulations also, Prabhuji. He may violate this also. No, I couldn't get the connection what is given here.
No, because of certain bad habits, it may be very difficult for him to control his mind, and because the bad habits, due to the bad habits, there will be a lot of unfavorable material vasanas which will pull his mind and not allow him to concentrate on chanting at all. But because deity worship involves a lot of physical activities can slowly, and but chanting does not involve multiple limbs. So therefore, focusing on chanting is very difficult. But focusing on those activities which involve multiple limbs, to gain focus is much more easier. So that is why DT worship is recommended.
Yeah, again, this is for people who are staying in a temple, Prabhuji. But we people, no, we...
Why? House DT worship one can perform?
Yeah, Prabhuji, that also we will do just for half an hour or 1 hour. Again, we are engaged in physical
cooking,
material. We are supposed
cooking
to go to office, clinic, everything. Yes, Prabhuji, but but that is also minimum to half an hour to 1 hour only, no, Prabhuji. I'm telling like
no,
chanting, this is also
that,
minimum time only, no.
That is true, but even that thing that we utilize for cooking for the deities, cleaning, worshipping the deities, because at least that, I'm not telling that you will 24 hours a day, but whatever time you engage, that involves more absorption.
Okay.
So that will lead to purification.
Yeah, that absorption we can get in even hearing. Some people may get absorbed in hearing. Some people love Srimad Bhagavatam reading itself gives lots of absorption and purification.
For some people.
Many things. Yes, Prabhuji.
Some people. Different people get.
Yeah.
Different people get this thing. So this is not something very universal. That is why the Vaikuntha Dudas, they say that whatever limb of devotional service gives you maximum absorption, that is the best limb for you. Like that.
Okay.
They say.
Thank you.
Okay. Let's move ahead to the next part. Next subtopic of deity worship. So next, deity worship is absolutely essential for sadhakas, especially the grihas. Okay. So here, this is a purport from Srimad Bhagavatam 7.5.23.24 by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada writes, it is there recommended that initiated devotees follow the principles of Narada Pancharatra by worshipping the deity in the temple, especially for householder devotees who are opulent in material possessions. The path of deity worship is strongly recommended. An opulent householder devotee who does not invest hard-earned money in the service of the Lord is called a miser. One should not engage paid brahmas to worship the deity. So one should not engage paid brahmanas to worship the deity. If one does not personally worship the deity but engages paid servants instead, he is considered lazy, and his worship of the deity is called artificial. Just give me one second. Hare Krishna, can you please hear my, can you hear my voice? Is my voice audible? Okay, thank you. I'm extremely sorry. I somehow got disconnected. Continue our discussion. I'm really sorry. Okay, so we have been discussing the purport of Srila Prabhupada, 7th canto, 5th chapter, 23rd and 24th verse, purport. Srila Prabhupada writes, one should not engage paid brahmanas to worship the deity. If one does not personally worship the deity, but engages paid servants instead, then he is considered lazy and his worship of the deity is called artificial. An opulent householder can collect luxurious paraphernalia for deity worship, and consequently for householder devotees the worship of the deity is compulsory. Okay, so that way you know, we will not, because the point, because whatever we earn very hard, whatever we work very hard to earn, we want, we definitely want to use it. And unless, you know, a householder establishes deities and worships them as being the masters of that particular house, then whatever hard-earned money that he has, one would want to utilize it for one's own gratification. But if there is a culture of considering that particular house as the deity's house, then and if that kind of deity worship happens, then hard-earned money, one develops inclination to utilize that hard-earned money for Krishna's worship. So that is why when we, in the second verse of Nectar of Instruction, there is prayas is mentioned as one of the limbs of devotional service which increases thirst for material enjoyment. Thirst for material enjoyment is enhanced by prayas. That is the point. So thirst for material enjoyment leads to prayas increases thirst for material enjoyment, because whatever we have earned very hard, we want to utilize it for our own gratification. But if this a culture of good deity worship, where we have put Krishna, the deity of Radha and Krishna, Gaur Nithai, or Jagannath Baldev Subhadra, a center of our house, if the internal conditioning is very clear that you know, they are the masters of this house, then naturally whatever we earn, work hard to earn, we want to utilize it for Krishna's service. Otherwise, we will naturally want to use it for our own service, because whatever we want, we have worked hard to earn, we really want to use it. Like that. So grihastha devotees, however, are generally engaged in material activities, and therefore if they do not take to deity worship, their falling down is positively assured. Deity worship means following the rules and regulations precisely. That will keep one steady in devotional service. Grihastha devotees must adopt Dakshana Vidhi or deity worship according to the suitable arrangements and directions given by the spiritual master. Regarding those unable to take to the deity worship in the temple, there is the following statement in the Agnipuran. Agnipuran says, any householder devotee circumstantially unable to worship the deity must at least see the deity worship, and in this way he may achieve success. The special purpose of deity worship is to keep oneself always pure and clean. So that external cleanliness is absolutely essential, non-negotiable for deity worship. Though one can chant the holy names without taking bath. There is very minimal cleanliness that is needed. One can wash one's mouth and start chanting the holy names. Even if one does not take bath, it is accepted. For deity worship, but that can make one little bit complacent. Even though that is allowed, but definitely if one takes bath and chants the holy, then it gives lot of, then one feels much more fresh and inspired to chant actually. So therefore, but if one has a very good culture of deity worship, then automatically it instills very good quality of cleanliness and purity, which will enhance their practice of the other limbs of devotional service also. So therefore he says, Grihastha devotees should be actual examples of cleanliness. By chanting the holy name of the Lord, one can reach the platform of love of Godhead. One might ask, then what is the necessity of being initiated? The answer is that even though chanting of the holy name is sufficient to enable one to progress in spiritual life to the standard of love of Godhead, one is nonetheless susceptible to contamination because of possessing a mental body. Consequently, special stress is given to the Archana Vidhi. One should therefore regularly take advantage of both the Bhagavat process and the Pancharatriki process. So both assist each other. Both assist each other in very wonderful ways. So therefore, it is mentioned that way. Any quick discussion points, comments, questions before we move on? Okay. Radha Bhavini Mataji.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Danda Pranam. Prabhuji, my question was, while we family members will be following as stated by Srila Prabhupada, the etiquettes for deity worship, but if we have some family members or near and dear ones visiting and staying with us, the unfortunate thing in our, at least our Keralites, majorly what I've seen is, we don't take a bath after we are have done a shaucham. So, so that becomes a very big challenge. Like we want people to come over and be with us, but when this part of the story happens, it's very challenging. How to tell them that this is a standard we follow, and at times they might enter the kitchen also. And we might not know if you're not there and if they do. It's very sensitive. I don't know how to handle. Can you please guide this?
Well, I think, once in a while the guests will come and, it's not like you may, if they get into the kitchen, we cannot do anything. You cannot say don't enter the kitchen. See, it all depends, you know. See, it's a question of, you know, the standards. It all depends. It's not about how you tell them, but it's question of how much you have invested in that relationship. So accordingly you have to do, because it's a sensitive thing only. So therefore there is no one way. So how you say depends on how closely you have established a relationship with that person. Otherwise, they may feel totally discouraged to come to the house only because of your, because of your behavior. So this has to be little certain things. Maybe in order to protect their faith, you may have to apologize to the Lord. You can maintain your personal standards, but little bit once in a while when guests come, you will have to apologize to the Lord, so that in the long run, they may develop some favorable attraction to Krishna consciousness. So this has to be according to time, place, circumstances. You will have to see, you know, you cannot catch just one thing. And, you know, at any cost, I attend cleanliness. So if someone, you know, 60, 70 years old, and if they use the washroom, but do not take bath, you know, you cannot drive them out of the house. So, yeah, I mean, you have to sort of, at some stage, you know, you have to offer apologies to the Lord in order to protect their faith in Krishna consciousness. And gradually, when they become more receptive, then you can tell them the standards like that.
Okay, Prabhupada.
Correct. Mother Gail? Mother Gail?
I'm sorry. Yes, Prabhu. Yeah. You know, as you were saying, the chanting and the deity worship, they work hand in hand, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, it's clear that, let me see, the way the deity worship enhances the chanting is that, you know, you have to be clean to do deity worship. And if you're clean and then you chant, then you can do it with more enthusiasm, the chanting.
Mm-hmm.
Now for the other way, mm-hmm. the way chanting enhances the deity worship,
mm-hmm.
can you just elaborate on that one again, how the chanting enhances the deity worship?
Because you spend 2 hours chanting the name of personality, you naturally want to serve him also, right? Because he has a form, in the form of deity. So if you are chanting his names, then naturally a thoughtful person would also know that I'm chanting the name of a person, and that person is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's why I'm spending so much time chanting his names. And he has a form also. That form is there for us to serve him. So in that way, it naturally enhances. I mean, this is a logical way, but there are subtler ways, because chanting purifies the heart also, and that also increases our enthusiasm for deity worship also. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, in that sense.
Okay, cool. Thank you.
Hare Krishna. It's Monica Mataji.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, in our family, we are denied to touch the deity when birth or death happens in the family. Mm-hmm. So it is very difficult for performing deity worship for 10 days, or even if the member is very closer, then we have to follow this for 21 days. So mm-hmm. how can we do that, cope with that? We cannot quarrel with family.
Yeah, relation. Yeah. So offer apologies to the deities, Mataji.
During that period, I cannot concentrate on other devotional services also, because I'm very much attached to it from my childhood.
That sense, you take darshan of the deities and offer prayers to the deities. That is all devotional service connected to the deity only.
Okay.
So you take darshan of the deities, and the name, the chanting is his name only. So there are ways. So especially on those days when you are not allowed to touch the deities, then you can engage in those other activities which are connected to pleasing your deity only.
Yeah, but we cannot even offer food. So
true, it is not like that. We can offer food, but if the family members have a different understanding, then we don't have to necessarily quarrel with them. It is shunned that. I mean, of course, I'm going to tell now is a very contextual thing. I am not recommending that whoever has installed DTs do this. I am putting a big qualifier to this. Okay. You are presenting a very specific situation where in your house there is a procedure that is followed that if a family member passes away, then for 11 days, or if he is very close, then for 21 days, you do not touch the rice, which means essentially you cannot offer bhoga also. So, and you don't wish to quarrel with your family member. Okay. So, what I'm going to tell now is in this context, and one should not decontextualize this whole thing until that, you know, it's okay. Whatever I'm going to. So, in this context only what I'm going to tell, you should accept. Okay. So, in such a case, when you are very clear, you don't want to fight with your family members. So, then you can mentally cook an offering for the Lord and mentally offer that to the Lord and the Lord will accept it.
Okay, Prabhuji. Thank you so much. And I don't say that I cannot quarrel. But it is the problem that they will definitely say that you are so much big devotee that you are quarreling with us and family tradition.
Don't do that. No need to do that. So that is why I am telling in this particular situation, because you definitely should not be quarreling with your family members. In this particular situation, not wanting to, you know, you should not be antagonizing your family members. For that purpose, you can mentally cook an offering and mentally offer it to the Lord and the Lord will definitely accept it.
Okay, thank you so much, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna. Radha Pramod Prabhu.
I have two suggestions also in this.
Yes.
If they allow, mm-hmm. they can give the deities to some other devotees who can help her do the service. Or sometimes happens?
This is this particular case. It is not my understanding is it's a family deeds. They have been worshipping. The family members have been worshipping. So I think, I don't think in this case, Mataji can offer it to someone else because it's the family deity. So I think that's the understanding.
What happens in our families if they live, then they give the deities to the temple. So when the service goes in the temple, they go and give the shalagram.
During that time, you are telling. This is a good idea. So, during that time.
One more option also, Guru.
Yes.
One more option is, when devotees, they are traveling for a long time, and they cannot give for others or they have some very critical situations. This is not recommending. I'm also telling contextual. They can have the photo of the deities and cook, and they're cooking in the kitchen. They offer to the photo of the deities. It's mm-hmm. non-different.
Non-different. Okay. Yeah. So there are two more ways of doing it. One is you can cook the offer it to the photo. So you are not allowed to touch the deity. So you can offer it to the photo and it's non-different, right? Again, a very contextual thing. And the second thing is you can, during those 10, 11 days or 21 days, you can request someone from the temple to take the deities and you know, offer worship there. Even that is also possible. So there are a few more ways. Yeah.
Cases, they request nearby devotees to come and do offerings also. They cannot do themselves.
That is also possible. If there are devotees living close to your house, they can come and they can offer the bhoga to the deities also. You can cook the bhoga and give it to them. They can touch the deities and offer it to the deities. That is also possible. Yeah. Yes, Prabhu. Thank you. These are very, very practical suggestions. Thank you, Prabhu. Thank you very much.
Prabhu, one more.
Yeah.
About the deity worship, from every all the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya, we see that everybody has deities. All our Goswamis, even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is worshipping Girra Shila, and his father has deities. And yes. Bhakti Vinod Thakur, everybody, all the acharyas. This was a and this is non-negotiable thing we can see in all the Acharya's life.
Yeah. That is why it is one of the five most potent limbs. The five most potent limbs are non-negotiable limbs, actually. Yes, true. All our Acharyas, they instituted worship, they themselves worship the deities very diligently. Yes. Thank you, Prabhu. Thank you. Yes, Hari Prasad Prabhu.
Hare Krishna Prabhu.
Yeah.
Prabhuji, just a small question that I heard that in the other way also that initiation means it's a first and second initiation all together in those days. So, mm-hmm. But in our sampradaya, we do little later. So is it that, are we not following it, or is it something that is related to Varnashram, or is it something opposite? I don't know.
What? I didn't really understand your question.
Initiation, mm-hmm. those days, one lecture Bhakti Saramara spoke that. Initiation means generally it's first and second initiation together they get. Initiation means.
Acha?
No,
yeah. How okay, in one sense. Hmm. There was no, in one sense, like exactly like a Harinam initiation as such. Initiation was second initiation directly. But of course, there were like, they would not call those preliminary things as initiation as such, but there was something similar. So they may not exactly call it as initiation, but it depends on a particular acharya. You know, Srila Prabhupada being an acharya, so he created a particular system. For temple deity worship, he did institute, second initiation as the norm. But for home deity worships, you know, even with first initiation, Harinam initiation, it is possible. And now you see in ISKCON, there are even, Shraddhavan, and then, there are stages even prior to first initiation also. So that people some inspiration to, come from, beginning one round, then to four rounds, and then some Bhakti Shastri, and then 16 rounds like that. So even prior to that, there are few stages have been introduced. So Srila Prabhupada did in one sense the same thing, he introduced not just Prabhupada, even Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur had something like a first initiation thing that was there.
Okay.
So let's move ahead to the next next subpart within this deity worship. Srila Jiva Goswami's comments on deity worship for the sadhakas, especially the grihasthas. So this is from the Bhakti Sandarbha. Srila Jiva Goswami says, if the grihasthas ignore the duty on the plea of having no money, their cheating activities will be a source of inauspiciousness for them. So if someone compromises the quality of deity worship, telling that they don't have money, but they utilize that money for their own gratification, it will be a source of inauspiciousness for them. He says, just as watering the roots of a tree automatically nourishes its branches, twigs and leaves, the householder's proper worship of the deity brings peace, prosperity and health to family. So proper worship of deity brings peace, prosperity and health. Okay. So in householder life, then there is a compromise of any of these things, peace, prosperity of health or health, then probably one should look into their standard of deity worship also. That could be a reason. If the deities are neglected, probably that is one of the reasons why there is lack of peace, lack of prosperity and lack of health. If this important duty is neglected, however, then householders expect want, disease and strife. So disease against health, want as against prosperity, and strife as against peace. This is what Srila Jiva Goswami tells in Bhakti Sandarbha. Deity worship allows devotees to see their family, home and as the Lord's property. Then, as His servants, they simply offer to the Lord whatever He has given them as their necessities. So, this is very important. That's why, Srila Jiva Goswami, very powerful statements. Just as watering the roots of a tree utterly nourishes its branches, twigs and leaves, the householder's proper worship of the deity brings peace, prosperity and health to the family. So, but if this important duty is neglected, however, then the holders can expect want, disease and strife. Like that. So, let us cover one more section and then we will open up for some discussion points. So, in his book, Shri Shuddha Bhakti Chintamani Srila Shivaram Swami Maharaj writes, so we discuss what is Shri Murtair Angri Sevane Preeti, means attachment to, what does it mean to have attachment to serve the lotus feet of the deity? Is it possible to perform such work on the platform of Vaidhi Sadhana? Is it possible to have that kind of attachment at the level of Vaidhi Sadhana? Someone may ask. So in Shuddha Bhakti Chintamani Maharaj writes, householders must worship Lord according to their means and not with less. Whatever they can afford to take care of the deities, they should spend and not less. Devotees should love the Lord as if He were a friend or family member, and they gaze on Him with tears of love. So how much time do we spend taking darshan of the deities? We should cultivate this move, seeing the deity of the house as one's friend or family member. Having given their hearts, should it be difficult for devotees to offer their bodies and possessions to their most worshipable deity? So he says, forget about bodies and possessions. First, start cultivating the mood of seeing them as family members or friends. That is the first thing that he says. So when that mood is cultivated, then naturally to offer one's bodies and possessions for serving the deities becomes natural, right? Just like we want to offer our bodies and possessions for serving our family members, in the same way, if we learn to see the deities as our family members, if we cultivate that mood, then offering one's body and possessions becomes very easy. Okay. So to cultivate this mood is preliminary, actually. Since Radha and Krishna are the object of spontaneous action, devotees often inquire how Radha Krishna deities are to be worshipped on the path of regulative devotion. So Radha and Krishna are Raganuga Vigraha. But we are supposed to worship them in the mood of Vaidhi. How are we supposed to it? Devotees first worship Radha and Krishna with reverence, the mood of worship offered to Lakshmi Narayana. As they advance, their mood becomes more spontaneous. So that spontaneity comes naturally as a byproduct of advancement in Krishna consciousness. So, along with bhakti, you also have virakti and pareshanubhava. Okay. So, virakti means anarthana vritti. And pareshanubhava means attachment. So, bhakti means advance. So advancement in bhakti is characterized by anavritti and artha pravritti, or you know, destruction of unfavorable anarthas and attachment to the form of the Lord. So when they advance, this favorable attachment develops along with anartha nivritti, and naturally the mood becomes spontaneous. One need not force this. Although their external worship remains formal and regulated, so one should, even if one thinks that they have developed some level of spontaneity within their heart, their external worship should remain formal and regulated. The deity worship in ISKCON is performed according to the rules of regulative devotion, technically known as Panatriki Vidhi. In regulative reverential worship, Radha and Krishna reciprocate in the mood of Lakshmi Narayana. Neophyte devotees who avoid the 64 offenses in deity worship are gradually purified, raised to what Srila Prabhupada calls the Vrindavan platform, the path of spontaneous devotion. Srila Prabhupada writes this in the 4th canto, 24th chapter purport, Rudra Geet chapter purport. He writes that when devotees practice regulated reverential devotion of reverential worship of the deities on the platform of Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti, then gradually they get purified and raised to the Vrindavan platform. The Vrindavan platform means the platform of Raganuga Sadhana. In this advanced stage, devotees worship Radha and Krishna with natural attraction, and their lordships reciprocate with them accordingly. So, does this mean that as devotees advance to the spontaneous platform, the standard of deity worship in ISKCON should change? Does it mean as and when people advance, the standard of deity worship in ISKCON should change? Is that so? No, it should not change, because there will always be neophyte devotees visiting or joining the temples, and deity worship should always be suitable for them. Otherwise, beginners will not become fixed in the essential principles of regulative devotion. They become sahajiyas. Okay. So, therefore, even though when along with progress in devotion, one may develop suitable attachment and may develop a spontaneous mood to worship the deity forms of the Lord, but still, as an institution, our external practice of deity worship should always be according to the regulation as given in the Pancharatriki. Otherwise, other people who may not be qualified for that spontaneous devotion may actually imitate that person, and they may become sahajiyas. So advanced devotees need not change the external form of their worship. Need not, or rather they should not, actually, within an institutionalized setup. They need only change their mood of worship, which develops naturally without external adjustment. It naturally comes with one's progress in devotional service. One need not do any external adjustment there. Thus, the worship of Radha Krishna follows the regulative Pancharatriki Vidhi. For devotees faithful to Srila Prabhupada's teachings, the mode of regulative worship gradually transforms into the spontaneous mode of Raga Marga, the Vrindavan platform. It naturally happens over a period of time. One need not externally force it. Yet, to the observer, both the neophyte and the advanced devotee appear to be engaged in the same type of worship, regulative worship characteristic of service Lord Narayana, because the person who is qualified for spontaneous worship also is externally practicing that worship exactly according to the Pancharatri Vidhi. Therefore, even though internally he may possess that spontaneous mode. So, because his internal worship is on that spontaneous level, he will feel satisfaction. And externally, because he is worshipping in the rules of the Pancharatri Vidhi, the newer devotees who come and observe that deity worship, they don't get dead and they don't have the risk of becoming sahajiyas. So, it's the that is Shri Murtir Angri Sevane Preeti. That Preeti gradually develops with creation. So essentially, it starts with actually, as we saw, learning to see the Lord as if he were a friend, family member. That mood should be first cultivated. Then when that mood is cultivated, then one will become ready to offer their bodies and possessions to their most worshipable deity. And by such an offering and following the Pancharatri Ki Vidhi, gradually when one serves the deity, then along with Anarthana Vritti, the Pravritti also develops, one develops favorable attachment. And when that favorable attachment is developed, then naturally and spontaneously, one develops that spontaneous mood of devotion towards their lordships. So, being the part of an institution, we nurture that mood, water that mood internally, while externally following the standards of worship according to the Pancharatra Vidhi. So that internally we feel satisfied because of internally worshipping in the spontaneous mood. But externally, we follow the standards so that the newer devotees get a favorable encouragement and inspiration in the right direction. So that way, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu becomes very pleased and additional empowerment also comes. So this is how gradually how one comes to the stage of Shri Murtir Angri Sevane Preeti, performing deity worship or worshipping the feet of the Lord with attachment. Okay, any quick discussion points, comments, questions, anything anyone would like to share, ask, add? Okay. Tipran Prabhu.
Prabhu, Dandat Pranam Prabhu.
Dandat Prabhu.
Am I audible to me?
Yes.
Prabhu, my question is, suppose someone in our family member has brought Radha Krishna deities, but they are not, you know, eligible to worship Radha Krishna deities.
Mm-hmm.
And now what the deities are there, mm-hmm. and not worship, they are not under worship now.
Okay. So, what is your question, Prabhu? You have muted yourself.
They are not qualified to worship. And they have brought the deities at home.
Yeah, so they are not being worshipped right now. Okay.
Yeah. So, what to do in that case?
What to do in that case?
Suppose one of the my family member has brought, and now I told him, you are not qualified to worship. So, and then to worship Radha Krishna, we also have to seek permission of Gurudev. So what to do in case of the deities? Like the deities are brought without, you know, proper discussion of the worship.
Okay, let's ask Radha Pramotro. Radha Pramotro, what should we do in this case? Radha Pramotro?
Yes, bro. They can keep them for rest till they get qualified, or they can give to some devotees who want to serve them.
Okay.
Like Prabhupada also, for a long time, his duties were also resting when Prabhupada was in different service, means in his school and college and other things. Mm-hmm. So, that is also allowed, and or they can give it to some devotees who wanted to do service, they can give to them.
Is that okay, Prabhu? Sachipran Prabhu?
And it is not on what basis we say they are not qualified. That is also to be examined, because if they can, it is not that they should be 16 rounder chanter only who can worship Radha Krishna deities. That is our institution standards. But there are so many people who worship Radha Krishna. Basically, they need to follow. If they are looking and offering two times and able to do some arati, they can keep it. For ISKCON standards, we are keeping. But there are many people who have deities at home and they have their standards. And Lord is Bhava Grahi. If we have some Bhava for the Lord, Lord will be willing to accept. Not that they should chant 16. No. That's my understanding.
Yeah, true. But having said that, definitely, being the part of an institution,
if they are institute, that is very different. But it is not that we cannot say they are not qualified.
I agree.
My point is, when I know that the standard, and I know that the deities to be worshipped with, you know, some qualification is required. It's not like in the family, when the elderly person, like suppose my father has brought the deities, I told him it is not possible. Still, he brought the deities. Now, he worships them, but I don't know he follows any Pancharatrika Vidhi. So what exactly the qualification to worship Radha Krishna deities? When we can see that the deities are not worshipped as per the standard, and we should rather than discussing with them, okay, this is not the standard, and then because neither we have that time to do that worship as per the standard. We know the standard, and we are not able to do that standard. That's why we not brought the deities. We worship Gornithai, Jagannath Baldev, Subhadramai, but Radha Krishna deities required certain kind of at least.
So it depends. So if they consider you as an authority, and if they are willing to listen to you, then as Radha Pramod Prabhu said, you can either put them to rest till someone becomes qualified, or offer it to someone who may be willing to worship them according to these standards. Okay, Prabhu.
And if, because they are already doing Gornita, if you can have two times offering and one time arati, I think that should be good enough, Prabhu. Means you will be able
correct
to continue.
But
the service.
But I think ISKCON DT worship standards are more stringent, Prabhu.
House DT worship is that much only, Prabhu.
House DT worship for Radha Krishna, I think. Yeah, but of course the cleanliness standards are also done up. They should be willing to take bath, and
they first bit doing Jagannath.
So if those minimum standards are followed, then I am not very sure if additional standards are there for Radha Krishna. I don't know. I'm not an expert in it, but definitely ISKCON deity worship 3 has standards for home deity worship also. I think probably they have slightly higher standards for worshipping Radha Krishna. Probably that's my understanding.
Where the problem comes is, Pro, for Gornithai, they can, even if you do Kirtan and one offering, Gornithai are happy with Kirtan. And you have to always every day cook and offer. You cannot just offer some fruits. And when you are traveling and all, so many, of course, for Radha Krishna, you cannot give to anybody. Like Gornithai, you can keep in somebody's altar. Radha Krishna, you cannot do like that. And there are certain standards, of course, that is there. Once you start, means you have to maintain it.
correct. True. So those things are there. I strongly suggest, there are courses conducted by ISKCON Deity Worship Ministry. So those who are engaged in ISKCON deity worship, I think this is now almost becoming like a mandatory course. or it's very soon going to become a mandatory course that devotees take before they, if they are really considering starting deity worship, you know, to understand what are the bare minimum standards which are required for them to follow. At least because as an institution, you know, we need to have some standardized protocols like that. Okay. So, Keshav Priya Madhavi Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji.
Yes, Prabhuji.
Prabhuji, just now you are telling about the standards of deity worship, Prabhuji, and we have to worship the deities with on reverence. Even if it is Radha Krishna deity, we have to worship this as Lakshmi Narayana. That means with awe and reverence. But gradually, when one gets purified, they can enter into any of the spontaneous affection. How is it possible, Prabhuji? Someone is always worshipped with awe and reverence. How can they be? They can gain a rasa like a son or a friend or all those things, Prabhuji. This one is always.
Not everything is conceivable, Mataji.
Yeah.
It is not logic. Otherwise, how is it possible that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu we always worship in the mood of Dasyara sound? So how is it that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is worshipped in Dasya Rasa, actually inspires to worship Radha and Krishna in Devasa? These are not like material logic. So because the personalities Radha and Krishna, their general mood is actually that of spontaneous love, and we cannot worship in spontaneous devotion because we are spontaneously attracted to material sense enjoyment only. So where can you cannot force spontaneity, because it is opposite. The opposite of force is spontaneity is force. So
that's what I mean, Prabhuji. We are telling Krishna Prema is our Priyojana, and we are doing all these regulations with such so much of rules and regulations, and everything should be done.
Hey, rules and regulations is why? Because currently, are we spontaneously attracted to Krishna?
No, Prabhuji.
What are we spontaneously attracted to?
Material activities. Only.
Material activities and sense gratification. So that has to be purified.
Yes, Prabhuji.
So how will that be purified? So it will become purified when we engage in, even though we do not have spontaneous attraction to Radha and Krishna, but when we nevertheless, as a deity, engage in worship of Radha and Krishna, that will purify our material propensities. And when our material propensities are purified, then we will slowly develop spontaneous attraction to Krishna. So that will gradually develop. It's not that it will remain.
Just for purification alone, is it, Prabhuji? We don't develop
both.
Rasa in our worship, is it?
That will come gradually. Rasa cannot even imagine rasa with anarthas. So only when anarthanavritti is complete, rasa manifests. So therefore, unless, like for example, I'll give the same example. Unless the glass is emptied of wine and washed nicely, it cannot be used to fill milk. So even though you may say that, "Arey, you have to fill the glass with milk. Why are you emptying it?" So we are emptying it of liquor, so that even though emptying looks opposite of filling, but still that emptying is needed in order to properly fill. So therefore. And also because we are worshipping Radha and Krishna only in the mood of Lakshmi Narayan. We are not worshipping the deities of Lakshmi Narayan. So the Radha and Krishna deities themselves have a capacity of attracting a particular mood of worship when sufficient purification of heart happens. And Lakshmi Narayan deities have a different mood. So even when purification of heart happens, then still they will command an on reverence worship only. But the deities of Radha and Krishna are not like that. When purification of heart happens, automatically they will command a more spontaneous form of worship. Mm. Like that.
The result will be different, though we worship yeah. with awe and reverence.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Thank you,
Hare Krishna. Krishna Prabhu.
Hare Krishna Prabhu. Yes, recently, Prabhu. There was a course conducted on deity worship. Mm-hmm. In the temple in Coimbatore,
mm-hmm.
and some devotees who attended, I didn't have the opportunity to attend, and I also don't know what exactly are the details, but mm-hmm. they told that the mm-hmm. standards of deity worship is so mm-hmm. high that mm-hmm. people were all aghast after attending the course.
Mm-hmm.
They were the course, I don't remember his name, one Prabhu from
Shetalang Varangro.
Yeah, make, yeah, correct. He gave instructions that you should not have the deities if you are not able to follow these kind of standards. So many mm-hmm. people started scratching their head what to do with the deities, and whether at all we should have the deities. We can as well have a picture of the Lord and worship. So like mm-hmm. that, the people started churning in their minds.
Mm-hmm.
So I was also a little confused. Mm-hmm. I didn't know what to do, because first to learn all those standards and then follow them, I don't know whether it is possible really.
Well, at least we should actually try to learn the standards. Whether we follow them or not. So, like say for example, just because we cannot follow the standards, that's not mean we should not learn the standards only. We should learn the standards and see, you know, if you have already installed the deities, then at least should try to see how we can take baby steps towards attaining those standards. You know, rather than, okay, I will not be able to follow standards, so I will not learn the standards only. It's important because we are serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So definitely we should learn the standards which are appropriate and gradually try to pull ourselves to those standards rather than, you know, not follow the standards at all. So, and see, and if we feel like, okay, Prabhuji, I have become old. So from now on, you know, for us to practically pull our standards to that platform will be very difficult. If you feel like that, then we can ask Prabhuji, what do we do? This is our situation. We are, you know, this is what physically is possible for us. So we have been worshipping the deities for so many years. So what would you suggest? So maybe Prabhuji will suggest some solutions for that. He's an expert. I am not an expert. I cannot exactly comment on this, but definitely, certain standards are there. So it's not like maybe we could have photographs and worship the photographs and slowly develop some level of steadiness and punctuality, some level of purity, cleanliness, etc. So that then gradually over a period of time, when we gain some confidence, then maybe slowly we can invite the deities home. So it is not to discourage people from worshipping deities. It is just that don't consider deities as, you know, just like ordinary personalities. They are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You know, you need to maintain minimum standards. In order to emphasize that, you know, it was mentioned in my understanding, not to discourage anyone to accept deities only like that. That's my understanding. Is that okay, Prabhu?
Thank you, Prabhu.
Okay, it's already 9:05 and there are two hands up. Maybe we will take both questions, but maybe if you can keep it really quick, it would be nice. Mother Gail.
Thank you, Prabhu. One, just did I hear properly that even for Gornindhai deities, they uh-huh. it is required that they get one cooked meal per day? Because I've heard that, you know, just flowers and incense, water was fine. So I'm just trying to confirm that.
I am not the authority on this, Mataji. But
okay, it's okay. We can go. I just also wanted to ask you, those of us who don't have at-home deities, the worship, the worship that we can do of deities, I think you said we can simply observe the worship of the pujaris in our local temple. Is that correct?
That's fine. That is also good. And also we can have photographs which we can ship and offer our bhoga to the photographs also. That is also allowed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And last thing, you said that the Lord Chaitanya played a dual role, right? One was, I mean, this is early in your lecture. One was that he is the Yuga avatar, mm-hmm. right? And what is the other role?
He's the Swayam Bhagavan himself.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because the Yuga avatar is not a, it's not really a very, you can say, the Yuga avataras themselves, amongst all the other avataras, they are not like very empowered. Actually, in one sense, they do not display much powers, much opulences, much qualities like that in the other yugas. Actually, so and but they are not even in many of the yugas. They are probably, if my memory is right, they are actually empowered living entities only. But
They're not always expansions of Krishna. They're direct expansions.
Not always. Yeah, if my memory is right, I will check that and get back to you.
Uh-huh. Okay. Thank you very much.
Hare Krishna. Yes, Radha Pramod Prabhu, you have a comment or question? Can you make it a little quick?
I have a comment, but maybe next time when we continue, I'll make it more elaborate. But just briefly, I'll tell 2 minutes. One point. Like the seminars that happens on deity worship, they really try to tell very high standards, and that is not what we hear from Prabhupada or Acharyas. That is the standards of Pancharatra, and we are more on Bhagavad. So if you go in that zone of deity worship, it is 5-6 hours. So we cannot do that. We have to understand our limitations, and we need to have deities at home. We cook for ourselves. We can happily cook for the deities and do aarti and just maintain. Prabhupada gave only two things, cleanliness and punctuality. That's the main thing for deities. And even I, Prabhupada disciples, I saw, or whoever, very senior devotees, how they are doing. This is what they maintain. So big Maharajas who have deities, I have seen how they are worshipping. And it is very simple, and many devotees can do it. Maybe next week.
It makes perfect sense to me also, Prabhu. That is why I would really like to know that these courses...
I can share some of the other Maharajas, even Shivaram Maharaj and some other Maharaj, what they are doing. It's quite simple they do, and Bhakti Dhirdamadhar Maharaj, they are quite simple, but everybody can do what they are doing. And if they are doing, means they are authorities. They have so we can just follow Maharajas and be happy.
Fine. Yeah, that makes sense to me, Prabhu. Yeah, I perfectly agree with that. Yeah, thank you for that. Okay, yes, one last question, Netai Mata Mataji, if you can make it a little quick. Yeah. We have already 10 minutes past the time.
Thank you very much for allowing me, Prabhu. Prabhu, do you want to say something about, is there any like particular reason why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu worshipped Giriraj? I'm nobody to ask this question, but, you know, sometimes, my inquisitiveness making me to understand that. Is there any particular reason?
Because it is, because worshipping Giriraj is one of the most important things which are suggested especially in the if one is aspiring for if one's goal is Krishna Prem in Vrindavan towards Vraja Krishna, then definitely worshipping Giriraji, worshipping Mother Yamuna, worshipping Vrinde Devi, Arsi Maharani, these are like very, very essential, worshipping Radha Kund. You know, these are all very essential aspects of worship, which enhances our affection for not only Krishna, but those which are to Krishna.
Yeah, so as a devotee, he taught us what to be done. That is why he did that. Is that correct, Mahaprabhu?
Yeah.
And also, Prabhu, but Giriraj worship is not. We have to have second initiation to have Giriraj worship, isn't it? Do you think?
Yeah, but not for. You can always have a photograph of Giriraj, or you can mentally worship Giriraj. Because there are standards for worshipping Giriraj physically, even in terms of getting them, because without you know, the permission from the Vrajavasis, when they themselves hand over them to you, it is difficult to worship them. But we can always mentally worship them, worship a photograph of Giriraj. That worship is always possible.
Okay. Thank you very much, Prabhu. And if somebody is very much inspired to worship Giriraj, what do you suggest, Prabhu?
They should take permission from their spiritual master, and they approach a Vrajavasi, and if they can convince any Vrajavasi to hand them over a Giriraj Shila, then they can worship.
Okay, Prabhu. Yeah, thank you very much for your time, Prabhu. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Okay, so thank you all very much for your patient listening and your enthusiastic participation. We will continue this discussion further next week. So, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srila Rupa Goswami Pad ki jai, Sri Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu ki jai, Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur ki jai, Sri Bhakti Aloka ki jai. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much.